Hello, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Eric Siska.
And this is another We Hate Movies anniversary show.
Yay.
Welcome to We Hate Movies on the Sideshow Network. Thank you for tuning in, as always. As I said at the top, we are celebrating an anniversary once again. It's a bit of a sad anniversary this year. We do not have Christopher Cabin in studio. We miss him dearly. He is still, of course, a firm part of the show.
Absolutely. Very firm.
Part really? Of the We Hate Movies family.
How firm exactly?
Oh, have you seen that tukus lately? Oh, it's firm as fuck.
Good to know.
So in his honor and in his absence, we're doing one of his favorite movies that he always wanted to get on the show.
And we're dicks.
Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey from 1991, directed by Pete Hewitt. This is, of course, the sequel to Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, which is indeed the superior film.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
Yeah, no, yeah. This is...
You'll get some dissenters, which is fine. And I do think this is...
Yeah, Virgin... Dissent. I don't give a shit.
This is a We Love Movies a bit. Kind of almost all around the
right.
corner.
Yeah. It's a fun enough movie. I think I'd recommend it. But also, it's okay to like a movie. You can like a movie. You can look at a movie and enjoy watching it.
I think this is the anniversary of Eric's advent of it's okay to like a movie.
I would go further and say it's almost always okay to like a Keanu Reeves movie, right?
Guaranteed. Guaranteed. Goddamn teed.
That's right.
Dude, I watched that Magic Mailbox movie of his.
Oh, really?
Wait, The Lake House?
The Lake House, and I was like, I was watching it with the missus, and yeah. We were like, this is fucking stupid. But at the same time, in the back of my mind, I was like, you know what? At least Keanu Reeves is in this movie.
Sure.
He is a fucking treasure.
That movie's like Frequency, right?
Yes, it's like Frequency, but with a mailbox instead of a radio.
And he's talking to his dad at the old lake house?
No, he's talking to Sandy Bullock.
Was that like
that sounds like it could be a little hot.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Was this movie like a dare to be like, let's make Frequency make even less sense? And so I was like, no, you can't do that.
What, Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey? Oh, no. Oh, the lake house?
Yes.
But it's a sexy frequency, right?
Mm-hmm. It's a sexy-ass frequency, but it makes no sense.
But that's the funny thing about... that's a good place to start. This makes so much less sense than Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
I think in order to accept the time travel physics of this movie,
yep.
You have to accept the idea that time is a fluid thing that's already happened. You know what I mean?
Because like you're saying, everything's set. What is going to happen happens. There's no free will.
Yeah. Pretty much.
You have destiny. Okay.
Yeah, no, pretty much, actually.
Because, I believe that.
Because this movie starts with Mr. Diplomatic Immunity from...
That's
right. That is Diplomatic Immunity, right?
I ran to the computer to double check because that is a Diplomatic Immunity guy if I ever saw one.
And from Lethal Weapon 2.
Okay, I just want to get
Diplomatic Immunity!
How many times is someone mentioning Diplomatic Immunity in movies?
I raced to the computer because he was Hans from Mighty Ducks.
Oh. Oh, yeah, you're right.
I made these little shoes for my little ducks. Fly, little ducks.
Quick, quick, quick.
You're totally right. No, but he's saying some nonsense about, like, it is now at this point where they are about to reach the talent show. And I'm like,
doesn't take any goddamn... It's always now. Like, if you have a time machine, they're always about to get to that talent show.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, it's always... Lincoln's always getting shot in a circle of time. You can always stop
it. Oh, I love thinking about that. You know, I was rewatching Birth of a Nation the other night.
Oh!
Because I got it on Blu-ray.
Mm-hmm.
For free. But, man, they fucking blow his head off in that movie.
Oh, do they really?
It's some pre-code cinema, man.
I've never seen it.
Future great Hollywood director Raoul Walsh is the John Wilkes Booth.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, weird.
I think you're going to say ageless vampire Raul Julia.
Oh, I wish he was an ageless vampire.
Yeah, he might be still out there. He might. Check under your bed before you go to bed.
I mean, I know they buried him. Did they ever check, though? Did they? You know what I mean? You bury the body. Do you check a couple days later?
Was he buried or burned?
I think he was buried, and he was buried in his Dracula robes, right?
you're thinking of Bela Lugosi.
Oops.
Did Raul Julia ever play Dracula? He should have.
I think Gomez was probably the closest he got, right?
I think that's as ghoulish as he got.
That's unfortunate. Anyways, so Joss Ackland is this actor's name.
Oh, yeah, thank you.
And he's just, he's the world's, he's exactly who I imagine I would be in this Bill and Ted future. You could fucking keep your headbanging utopia, all right?
That's what's hilarious about this movie is that, like, this sequel, like, musically is too little too late.
Yes.
Like, we're talking 1991. No one gives a flying shit about, like, this music that they insist on listening to is going out the door. So, yes. Yeah, it would not last into this fucking future society as the savior of humanity.
But there's this idea that Bill and Ted will someday somehow change the world when they get their shit together. And it's kind of funny that they haven't gotten it together yet, which is kind of the gag of this movie.
Wasn't, like, the end of that first movie them supposedly getting it together?
They still can't. Did they know how to play at the end of that? I forget. Or they were starting to understand
how to play. I don't think so. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't remember how that first one really ends.
But this, I will give, the future in this movie is different than the future in the second, in the first one. The future in the first one is very like, oh.
Yeah.
And it's like, right. Clarence Clemens, and they're like being really weird about everything.
I forgot the big man's in that
movie.
He
plays like the high father or something or other.
It's, you know what it is? It's very, Kryptonian,
mm-hmm. Yes.
in origin.
Well, this
I feel.
Is probably like a few years after yes. that, this and like everyone's wearing like Crocs and stuff.
Yeah, everything's plastic. Everybody's
it's a
wearing...
world run by Mario Batali.
Yep.
And so apparently, beloved, legendary, I miss him every day of my life, George Carlin, is again reprising his role as Rufus
for 10 seconds.
Yeah.
And I guess he's like the dean of Bill and Ted University or something.
Traded up that cloak trench coat for a plastic one.
Dude, the clothes in this movie, they all look like they're wearing bad Comic-Con costumes.
Yes. Oh yeah. And by the way, I think Rufus is running some type of scam. That university sounds bogus.
Dude, it's like Trump University.
I actually think Rufus in these movies, maybe history's greatest time criminal.
Dude, do you think he's the Phantom Menace?
I think so. I think he's he's like, I go back in time, get these dumb kids from the Circle K,
yeah.
prop them up
yeah.
as my puppets, my puppet regime,
uh-huh.
and suddenly I'm calling the shots in the future, you know?
Wow, you're kind of totally right.
I think that's what happens.
Because there's no way they become as great as they do, because if the timeline exists without any intervention, they just grow up to be deadbeats and they like die in a boxcar. Right.
Right? Rufus sets he keeps going back in time, setting up all the smoke and mirrors
yes, yes,
to
yes.
make this thing happen.
Speaking of smoke, by the way.
Please.
Do we have an
if
answer?
If you got them.
Yeah. Do we have an answer as to why they're not constantly smoking weed and drinking in these movies?
I don't. I think it's because these are almost kids' movies.
I think that's it, too, yeah.
Is that true? Like, I mean, yeah, I guess so,
I think
so,
they're
right?
probably...
Like, this one's rated PG, I think.
Right, yeah. But every moment the camera's not on them,
yes,
they're like bonging it up or something.
It's just insane that they don't smoke pot. And especially when we get to Bill and Ted's apartment and they're just watching Star Trek. I'm like, what the fuck are we waiting for, guys?
You're sitting there. You're 19 years old.
Mm-hmm.
You don't go to college. You've graduated high school. You're
yep.
unemployed.
Right.
You have your own apartment somehow. And you're watching Star Trek alone with your buddy. Of course you are smoking weed.
Yes.
Of course you are. 24/7 smoking weed. Come on.
One more question about the presumed future of Bill and Ted.
Yeah.
Did they die martyrs' deaths?
There is that statue.
There is that statue that to me portrays a martyr's
listeners
death.
At home, Andrew was taking a sip and almost spit it out at that line.
There was almost green peach tea all over this computer. Yeah, that's a good question. Not much is known about the death of Bill and Ted, but man, if they ever make this long supposed third movie, yeah. I hope it's addressed.
Uh-huh.
Because you have to imagine they go down in a ball of flames.
Because that's, look, think about John Lennon. Think about John Lennon v. Paul McCartney. Everybody loves yep. Paul McCartney, sure, you know.
He's great.
He'll bring him out for every Super Bowl you can get. But John Lennon is the guy that people are weeping over, and he changed the fucking world.
Right.
You know why? Because he got shot in the goddamn head. Yeah. I mean, that has a lot to do with
was
it.
Was that a headshot?
I don't know. I think it was a headshot. But he got murdered. He got cut down in his prime, therefore aged very well. Right. Just like our friend Kurt Cobain.
It's good to use the musician analogy because
Bill and Ted's want to be musicians,
but they're also heads of state. So,
okay,
this could be like a JFK sitch. You know, they're taking a parade route somewhere.
One of them future. Well, actually, I'm thinking of them like in this future,
right?
But you have to. They're not living past what
2040 or something.
Yeah.
Because of the lone gunman in the Kindle depository.
No, you know who did it, by the way?
The lone gunman from The X-Files?
No, I got a fan theory coming up here.
Oh, lay it on me.
He doesn't appear in this movie, but his name is mentioned. Deacon, Ted's little brother.
Oh yeah.
How much of that
tired.
Shit can you handle, Deacon?
Yeah. Oh, you're totally right.
He's maybe getting fat like Jared Leto somewhere. He's getting all. He's reading The Catcher in the Rye over and over again.
And maybe he might be in the line of succession if this is some type of monarchy.
Mm-hmm, that's true,
dude. That chapter 27 is one of the worst movies ever made. Jared Leto as fat. Lennon killer.
Yeah,
there.
I skipped that.
Yeah,
how was Lindsay Lohan though?
Terrible. Right in line with everything she's done for the most part.
Keeping an average. So, basically, Joss Ackland or what's his name, Demonolus or some such thing.
Yeah, that's close enough.
Something. And he's like, I will send these robots back to the future to destroy Bill and Ted.
Man, evil robots. By the way.
I like these evil robot characters. Yep. They're a lot of fun. You can tell Alex Winter and Keanu are having a ton of fun playing these guys.
Absolutely.
Because they get to do the same character, but just a little bit more ironically and a little bit meaner, which is just fun.
And it is a testament to these two that these movies are what they are, because they are committed to these characters.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, we've all seen interviews with them and, you know, whatnot. Like, they're so not... I mean... Say what you want about these movies, but this is an actor fucking acting,
yes.
Dude. Like, these are characters that they have made. And you can't say anything about it. But yeah, them is the evil thing. It's nice to see them be mean, because, like, on the note of, like, these are kind of kids' movies, like, Bill and Ted are kind of just big kids.
Yes.
You know? And
they're babies.
Like, they are babies. And, like, when the robots are being mean to them, they're like, God, they're being mean to us, you know? And they don't understand why, even. But, yeah it's like, you're seeing them be nasty, like, shut up back there, dudes! And you're like, fuck yeah, evil robot. Fuck yeah!
And so they go in the phone booth. Not enough time travel in this movie by any stretch of the imagination.
Oh, no, because we're doing all sorts of interdimensional whatnots with the afterlife instead.
But Rufus, in a last ditch effort, goes down the time stream, raw dogging it.
Oh, yeah.
Without
dude,
a time,
yeah.
Like just holding onto a guitar string.
The rare George Carlin action sequence.
Man, him getting pulled along.
Yeah.
Oh, it's silly.
I would love it if they just had like some Lawnmower Man graphics of him just turning into sprinkles, like,
dude,
as he goes in the time stream.
You know what? That's a possible deleted scene sitting somewhere.
No.
They had in that first movie, they definitely had like the time circuit.
Yes.
And you saw
the time
booth,
tunnel.
Like, go through.
Yeah.
It was like a shittier Sliders.
Yes.
If you could imagine such a thing existing.
If you could even imagine it.
This is my question, by the way, because sometimes with these bigger movies, I'll say like, well, we all know that everybody's seen this. Do you guys think that everybody has seen this movie?
No. I mean, we got some people that are so young that listen, you know? Well,
yeah.
We got some 5-year-olds now.
Dude, so. I was just talking about how I was watching Birth of a Nation. That movie's 100 years
old. Oh, everyone's seen that. But Bogus Journey.
Also, it's on Netflix now. So
Birth of a Nation?
No, thank God. Bogus Journey.
Both of these movies are on Netflix. Both Bill and Ted.
I'm smelling a new WHM challenge coming on. You watch Birth of a Nation and then Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey.
Back to back?
Back to back.
Does anyone have 5.5 hours just sitting around?
Let me think. Yep.
I guess the hate is redeemed by the cheerfulness of Bogus Journey. That's the way you want to watch those two movies.
I was going to say it the other way around.
So then we, you know, after this whole as Eric said, George Carlin action sequence. We cut to Bill and Ted in the present day. They're playing in Wild Stallion. The princesses are on drums and keyboards. And this is barely a band.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's just...
It's always been barely a band.
And they got recast, right?
The princesses, yeah.
Oh, did they really?
Yes, they definitely did.
Oh, okay. I didn't check back.
And honestly, the funny thing is, like, yeah, it... Go out and recruit a drummer. Go out and recruit a keyboardist, a bass player. Let's get a put up some flyers, Bill and Ted.
Yeah, I mean, I know and kind of appreciate your whole, like, let's keep this a honeymooners type click.
Yeah.
And you just constantly want to hang out with your best friend and your girlfriend.
It's kind of weird.
It is. It's weird. It's fucking weird. I can appreciate it, but it's kind of weird.
Uh-huh.
Go out and find actual musicians.
Or maybe anyone can try. Try to learn the instrument.
Well, the princesses somehow are better at their instruments than Bill and Ted are playing guitar.
Of course, they had a medieval education, which is better than modern day American.
Were you taught drumming in medieval education?
Well, keep in mind, these are princesses.
The leisure arts.
Noble birth. All art, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
Is who's in charge, man. That's who has the luxury
to produce art.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, you're totally right.
Serfs that can't do anything.
Well, the lowly serfs make a podcast. That's how it works. So cut to, as Steve said to me earlier today, a pre-Quentin Tarantino Pam Grier.
You want to talk about getting caught in the time stream without a time machine? It's Pam Grier between like 1979 and 97. It's just like, no! My career! It's
the late 70s to Jackie, like the bicentennial to Jackie Brown.
Yes, exactly.
Man, which is a fantastic movie.
Absolutely. It ages better and better every day.
She is playing... Now, at first, I thought that she was their manager.
Yeah.
And I was like, this lady made a bad business decision.
Like, but who's she fucking? Like, that's the only way... The only way, if you were Pam Grier managing Bill and Ted, is you're fucking one and or both of them.
No, yeah. Rufus, man. That's who you'd think, right? I mean, if she was the manager...
Right.
She'd be like... Goebbels in the new regime.
Oh, that's actually true. They rise to power...
Mountains of money. Mountains.
Well, instead, she's just the manager of this talent show, or a battle of the bands, excuse me.
Yes. And this is not at the high school?
It's not at the high school.
Oh, I thought it was the high
school. No, it's somewhere in San Dimas, and I think it's the biggest entertainment event San Dimas sees all year.
And it's a great, it's the best battle of the bands you can imagine, because you get 25 grand if you win, and a 2-year record contract.
Well, that's why Primus is in it.
How Primus got started.
They're in the movie. Yes. It's crazy.
Faith No More was in there. The first of many. Station!
Oh, man. Yeah.
And apparently Faith No More has like some type of a religious affiliation in this future society. Like,
yeah, he's like
they're like the mysticism end of this.
Yeah, whatever the future in Bill and Ted.
Try and figure that one out.
Is Faith No More still around, or are they no more?
They might be around. I'm not sure.
I think they are.
And yeah. You know, I don't have an opinion on them either way.
They're going to come back big time in, let me check, 2691.
2691, I apologize.
Sorry. Is that the year that we're talking in the future there?
Yeah. It's a bit. It's a ways off.
Yeah, that's in the future.
So you won't be seeing a lot of Facebook things when Bill and Ted's future comes to pass. No one will be going nuts.
People will be posting just pictures of Bill and Ted with inaccurate statistics about their presidency and sharing it with all their high school friends.
So, so she's like, oh, you guys suck, but I'll put you up. She does this bullshit. She's like, oh, you guys suck, so I'll put you guys on last. The best place to be in the Battle of the Bands is going last.
Well, although it's Pam also Grier, the headliner.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, Pam Grier, no, she does say something about that'll be around midnight and most people will have gone home.
Yeah.
Which I'm like, if you, for whatever reason, aside from knowing one of the acts, is attending a Battle of the Bands, wouldn't you want to see who wins this Battle of the Bands?
Yes.
No one's going home, Pam Grier.
Idiot.
Fucking mistake.
Also, there are film cameras or video cameras, like they're broadcasting this stuff.
Yeah, this thing, I initially feel was being like televised on local San Dimas TV.
Right,
but then
yes.
after some gleep glop magic that happens, that's broadcast all over the world, yeah, thankfully.
We'll get to
thankfully.
It.
So now Bill and Ted are having a party. they are going to propose to their girlfriends.
It's like, the babe's 512th birthday.
Are they twins? Like, what does that mean?
Yeah, I don't know. Were they sisters in that first movie?
They're in the same castle, so probably.
Actually, yeah, I think they probably are. Yeah.
Listen, if you're taken out of your time and brought 500 years into the future, you can just kind of make up whatever birthday you want.
Precisely.
You know what I mean?
Right. And also, you don't need to date the first pair of stoners you see.
So it's their birthday party, and like they've apparently only invited their parents and parents' friends.
Yeah, and for some reason, the only to set himself up, the recruiter for the military school is there.
Yeah, like Sergeant Oates or whatever.
Yeah, and dad's buddy.
Anyone notice who played this guy?
Oh, it's been killing me, and I for some reason haven't gone to IMDb.
It's Hilton from Mad Men.
Hello, oh, Dom. Connie.
Oh, yeah, really? Connie Hilton. Conrad Hilton.
Wow, yeah.
He aged a bit.
He did, yes.
But
this movie's 24 years old.
Yeah,
sure. But Ted's father, man, that guy's great in these movies.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. He was also on an episode of Mad Men.
Oh, really? Yeah, he was. I forget which one.
But, yeah, that dude's great. This, like, he's selling it just as hard as anything.
So now he's got Missy, Bill. Now, what was it? It was Bill's stepmother.
Mm-hmm. In the first movie.
They got divorced. And now she married Ted's dad, so there's a little gag there.
There's a little bit of a gag, and also Oates might be banging her too, though, because there's that thing where like she walks by and she like grabs him and is like, "Hi, Oatsy," and I was like, "Oh, Missy."
Missy's a liberated woman, man. Whatever. She's just trying to make it work in San Dimas.
Dude, they are trying to give Missy a little more to do in these movies, and I don't need it.
No, I agree.
You know what? Missy can stay as two-dimensional as Missy started.
Yeah.
Give more to the princesses. The princesses do nothing in
these movies. They are fucking chucked in the trunk of this movie.
They are one-dimensional.
Yes.
They're just like, they're princesses. They're princesses.
Wouldn't it be interesting to be like, what the fuck is television? You see them do
right,
that thing?
Right.
We also don't, I mean, it's not that far off, but we don't know how much time has elapsed since the first film, really.
Yeah, we're assuming it's in real time, so about
so
2 years.
They might have been caught up by now. They could have done like a Johnny Five information and reading books real fast.
Yeah, they assimilated.
Also, where do the princesses live? Because they go home every night.
They do. Oh, my God.
They're not living with Bill and Ted because that's, you know, not wholesome.
Bill, our girlfriends are very chaste. Or whatever Keanu Reeves says. Because, they're medieval princesses.
Maybe it's like a mental institution or something.
I got to drop the babes back off at the institute.
I'm from the Middle Ages. Uh-huh. Sure you are. Here. Enjoy this injection.
Go sit next to Chief. You're going to play basketball in a little while.
You and Danny DeVito and Christopher Lloyd.
But they already killed McManus in shock.
McMurphy.
McMurphy, sorry.
So at this point, Bill and Ted propose to their girlfriends, the princesses, at the same time and say, not will you marry me, like that. Will you marry us?
Now, you think...
It's a poly family? Yes, I do.
I mean, I was just going to call it flip-flopping, but yeah.
I think everybody's fucking everybody.
You
and
think
it's just,
there's going to be swip-swapping?
I think they're kind of starting a commune, right? If you're going to marry us, you're not... You know what I mean? It's not you're marrying to the collective.
Yeah, that's some Manson shit right there.
Right, and like, no, like whatever babies are born, man, we're just going to all raise them together.
Yeah, you're totally right. Communal living. You know what? Hashtag you can keep it.
But that's the
I don't think all communal living is like that. But
at the end of the movie, it's weird because, you know, when they come back from the future and they've learned everything and they're kind of dressed like ZZ Top, Bill has a little baby on his back and Ted has a baby on his back. And
right.
Bill has little Ted and Ted has little Bill. I think everybody's fucking everybody.
It's a thing, though, where the fathers of each kid are holding their own kid, and they just name them after their best buddies.
That's, right, yeah.
I think is the thing.
That might even be weirder.
Oh, it's weirder.
Mm-hmm.
Trust me, it's weirder. Also, the whole thing about this proposal is it's all contingent on win the Battle of the Bands plus record contract, e-money, if then marry the babes.
Yes.
Because as they say, they don't have jobs. They're totally broke. The engagement rings are little like plastic. Quarter machine plastic things.
Might as well be an onion ring. Some cold Burger King on your finger.
Do you mind if I take it off? The grease is burning my hand.
The princess is like, oh, yes, I'll marry thee. And I remember when I was going to rule a whole land, and now I'm just going to just fucking...
Now I'm picking up an extra shift at the Circle K.
Absolutely.
You but know, I was going to be on currency.
I just realized something. Now, if they're doing this sequel, mm-hmm. and they're, we've confirmed there are children, descendants... These kids are going to be old by now.
Yeah.
They're going to be, are they going to be the new stoners hanging out?
No, and I swear to God, if it's a Passing the Torch movie, you can fucking shove it up your ass, Orion Pictures, which doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, they've already been shoved up their own ass.
So whoever's taking up the charge. But seriously, fuck that. So is because it I'm tuning in for Bill and Ted, not Bill Jr. and Ted Jr.
Whoa. They've got to be involved. They got to be involved now.
They've said that they, you know... They've read the script. They like it.
Are they
know.
Like going to be like 50-year-old same old?
Well, you know, what happens when dudes like that get old? I mean, dudes like that are old, you know.
Well, they rule the free world, apparently. That's what happens when these guys get old.
Is this going to be like gritty, like them getting their foothold? Like,
I think it's The Man in the High Castle. I think it's exactly The Man in the High Castle with Bill and Ted.
I think so. I think we need to get a time machine of our own and arm the rebels.
So Evil Bill and Evil Ted show up and trick them by saying they're them from the future. And they're like, oh, that always happens. You know, it's kind of a fun gag.
Right.
And they take them out to the desert and promptly kill them, which is fun.
They get to the killing right away. What is a waste of time, though, is one of them calls pretending to be the babes and breaks up with them.
Yes.
Who gives a shit? You're going to murder them.
Well, that's the thing. Joss Ackland's plan, or Denonimino's demon face, his thing is like, we will go back in time and take them, kill Bill and Ted, and everyone's like, and then we'll ruin their music career. It's like, well, no, you've done that by murdering them.
That's all.
Check mark, done, move on.
And we will break up with their girlfriends.
We will also break the hearts of their girlfriends and insult their single fathers.
And their credit will be shit.
It's like, they're dead. It doesn't matter. Let's get to the one thing that... So they throw them off a cliff, and before they do, they say, oh, don't do it, man. We love you. And we get to one of three gay slurs in this movie, the same one.
Three of them.
And it's just kind of like, come on, guys.
It's a total sign of the times. And you know what? It hits like a fucking thud in 2015. Both of the movies have it, which is astounding to me because that means they were like, you know what was so popular from that first movie?
The hate.
Let's drag that back.
You know, let's not really focus on the, that fun time travel adventure. Let's not put that in this.
But what I've always said about this sequel is that I kind of appreciate that there's not time travel in it. Because it's taking those two characters and they're making them do something else.
Sure.
Granted, it's a jaunt through the afterlife and it's sort of weird.
But if you're bringing something back from that movie, why use that one word and double down on it? And I know...
Triple down.
Listen, put down your keyboard talking about, oh, them libtards are social justice. Tap, tap, tap. I'm going to... You know what, fellas? I'm not listening anymore. Have you heard of South Park? And I hear you. I get it. We get emails like that.
We do get emails like that.
Point is, it just fucking thuds, man.
It's bad.
It thuds. And it's like, here's the thing. If in some way it was catered to a joke that was funny, maybe.
If it's a punchline to something.
There's no fucking joke. It's not funny. There's nothing funny about saying that to the devil.
That's, yeah.
Which happens later on in the film.
Just the devil. Like, really, man? The fucking devil.
Dude, the A number one devil.
It'd be great if Frank Welker still was like, what?
Hey. Yeah, by the way, Frank Welker voicing Station and the devil in this movie.
Oh, my God. I honestly think we have to use a time machine to stop him. Because this is such fucking crap. Did I tell you guys I was watching Search for Spock?
Oh, yeah, the Spock screams? when he's aging rapidly.
I could have done that.
No, no. Frank Welker does it, man.
Dude, please. I want to see Frank Welker's golden toilet because you know he's got to have one. All these little credits here and there, definitely. That adds up.
Listen,
it adds up.
If any plumber is listening that has done work for Frank Welker, tweet us those pics.
Oh, yeah. 34-karat toilet. Saw it myself.
You want to talk about living in the Bill and Ted future? We're living in the Frank Welker future already. That guy's changed the world.
I think you're right. I think there's going to be statues of a voice. And
it's going to be so many, who's that guy? Just Frank Welker just smiling. Because I'm sure, by the way, we rip on him so much. I am sure as shit. I've never been surer of anything in my life that Frank Welker is the nicest person you will ever meet in your life.
I'm just so
fucking jealous of Frank Welker. It's just not even funny. He has it figured out. Whenever someone says, you see that guy there? That guy's got it figured out. You turn around and say, not as figured out as fucking Frank Welker, that's for sure. And just walk away. Let them figure that out.
Go on IMDb. Look at it. Go ahead. Do yourself a favor. Go on IMDb and just look at it. You'll get fired from work if you print out his fucking thing from IMDb, all right? They'll say, hey, who ruined this printer cartridge? Oh, I was printing out Frank Welker's filmography.
7,000 credits.
Dude, he voiced a dog in Space Jam. Yeah. And not even a Looney Tune one.
A dog.
A living dog.
A living dog, and he got paid $70,000.
I'm sure.
Beautiful man.
They die. William Sadler shows up as the Reaper. And the thing about William Sadler as the Reaper is it's fun for a little while.
Dude, this is, you know, Steve, you say sometimes when we talk about rape scenes on the show, like rape is a delicate spice for your movie.
Yeah,
and, you gotta
use it right and use it for a reason.
The same could be said about a comic reimagining of the Grim Reaper played by Die Hard 2's William Sadler.
Yes, yes.
Man, does this get annoying.
It just gets old really quick, and like it's a funny performance. I think he's great. I love William Sadler.
I love him too, and this starts so well. You're like, oh man, like the Grim Reaper as a character in a movie. How fucking cool is this? Haven't seen that since The Seventh Seal. I wonder if they'll reference it. And you know, you keep just watching it, and you're like, oh, no, wait a second. Oh, he's not menacing anymore. Oh, it's worse. He's starting to tell jokes.
He's yucking it up.
Oh, man.
Yep. Like, the last quarter of the movie is just him doing jokes.
Well, I think, and I, to jump on your point about this movie, like, being a little bit interesting as a sequel, because it's not just... It's not Ghostbusters 2, right? It's not like, let's forget the first movie ever happened, but do it again. This is like... Let's build on it. They'll go on a different kind of adventure, da-da-ba-da. The first half hour of this movie, aside from that F-bomb, is great. And it's really, like, well-paced and the jokes hit. The movie goes on. Once they're kind of in the middle of hell and they go back to the Reaper and the Reaper starts doing stuff, I just check out.
Because so, blobbity-blow, you know, they're like,
with you so far.
You know, the Reaper's like, you can play me or whatever in a game and you could possibly be reincarnated, and they run away from him.
They give him a Melvin first.
Oh, man. Which I guess that's just a wedgie, right?
Or is it a frontal wedgie? Is that the idea?
I think it's a wedgie, but I don't know the dynamics.
I thought it was a front wedgie when Bill and Ted did it, but then when the Reaper does it to diplomatic immunity at the end of the movie, looked like he was going in the back door for that Melvin.
Okay. So, yeah, I think it's just a San Dimas. Miss Wedgie. For whatever that is, San Dimas, a hot and sweaty San Dimas style wedgie.
Man, that's also a San Dimas sandwich. It gets confusing, the local vernacular in San Dimas, California.
They wedgie him and then they go back and they kind of like hang around for a little while.
And this is where I feel the movie's kind of spinning its wheels a little bit.
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh, they're ghosts and they're kind of walking around, but like, they go to their apartment, and the two robots are literally just hanging out breaking things.
That happens a couple of times in this movie. We keep checking back at those robots.
And they're also sexually assaulting the princess.
Yeah, that's the other thing.
That's kind of happening. You know, Bill's like, no, get over here and put out. And you're just like, all right, Scorpion. All right, rapey Scorpion.
It's just really, really weird. For whatever reason, that line is funny just because he's saying it's such a weird, like...
That's a Biff Tannen thing to
exactly,
say.
And yeah. Coming from little Alex Winter, you're like, oh, that's kind of cute.
Well, these evil robots were programmed by Joss Ackland, so...
Yeah, exactly. Why give them dicks, Joss Ackland?
That's Wait something.
Are you saying why give them dicks?
Why give them dicks?
Why wouldn't you?
Well, because they... At least as far as I know of Joss Ackland's plan...
Yeah.
All they have to do is kill Bill and Ted, and then their mission is over.
Right.
What about that requires a dick?
I don't know. Maybe you're stopped by the authorities. They give you the old pat down. You don't want to seem like you're
Oh, it feels like there isn't a cock here. Let's get these pants off. Oh, it's an evil robot.
Yeah, you know, you're like, they pat you down there, and it's like, wait a second. There's no cock and balls. That's a robot hole. Like the plug spot.
I agree. I agree with you, Eric, to a point. But why then give them sexuality where they're getting what they call robot chubbies?
Why give Commander Data robot chubbies?
Well, that's different. Because
what? Why?
I will explain to you why the evil robots from Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey are
different
than
from the evil robots
Data.
Of Star Trek. Tell me.
Because the whole point of Dr. Noonien Soon's mission was to create artificial life as accurately as possible.
Yeah.
And Data strives to be a human being, which you can't do without a dick, dude. These robots' sole purpose for existing is to kill Bill and Ted, and then they might as well self-destruct after they do it.
Well, maybe he's doing some Ex Machina stuff on the side.
He's getting into some Ex Machina territory.
I'm just saying, listen, you're not going to only make two evil robots. Maybe that's their mission.
Oh, man.
You got other ones out there.
You cut back to Joss Ackland. He's doing disco with a Japanese robot.
Man, that's one of my favorite movies of the year.
It's a great movie.
It is good.
The princess is like, you've changed. And they leave in their really bad British accents.
Sure.
One of the four lines they have in this movie.
And again, I'm left wondering, where are they going?
I know. Do they live at the Y?
At one point, they're hanging out with Missy. But yes. I mean, that comes to nothing.
No, it doesn't come in anything. And then more Missy comes up. So they're like, oh, we need to find a way to beat our robot selves. Let's go to the cops. They go to what do you call it there?
They possess Ted's father.
Yes.
Which is where this actor
shines.
He shines
like a diamond.
This guy is imitating Keanu Reeves' Ted impersonation, right, and it's fucking awesome.
Just his physical presence.
Yeah.
The way he's standing, the way his whole body language is when he's being possessed by Ted. Phenomenal.
Conversely, the fat, bald gentleman that Alex Winter possesses doesn't do as great of a job. That's kind of like your dad trying to do a Bill and Ted impression.
Yeah, he's also the guy from Arachnophobia that gets it. One of the people. Like, he's like the fat guy's eating popcorn and then he dies.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's a movie I got to revisit.
That's a movie I don't need to see again.
Oh, really? You got a thing with spiders?
Yeah, I'm not. You know, I kill them.
Uh-huh.
I don't have to like to look at them.
Fair enough.
So that's a bust. Nobody buys it. And then
it's another spinning your wheels scene, not for nothing.
Sure enough, given somebody in the writer's room was like, well, Missy needs something else to do here. So she hosts a weekly seance, I guess.
Weekly, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
It is confirmed that this event is weekly. That's weird.
And they're all trying to bring up, you know, famous people for some reason.
This is pretty funny because they're just like, what were some of the names?
Charlemagne was one.
Gandhi.
And then eventually who Missy wants to commune with the seance? Ty Cobb.
Dude, you get the ghost of Ty Cobb on Earth. Forget about it. You want to talk about Birth of a Nation? Look out, everybody.
The Traveler has come.
Oh, yeah. The ghost of Ty Cobb would end this world as we know it.
Yeah.
He's wearing like a skull helmet and just like he's got a baseball bat. It would be terrifying.
Batter up.
He would definitely drop the F word, the N word, and all a bunch of other ones.
Anything else.
All the letter words.
A through Z. That guy would be spouting off.
Ty Cobb loved him.
Bill and Ted try and communicate with them. They think that they're evil spirits, and they send them to hell.
Sure.
And this, we get Frank Welker's devil who shows up.
Which he looks like Shao Kahn from Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, well, it's not Frank Welker in the suit, obviously.
Well, no, it's some model. You know but who he, I thought
he
it
does,
was?
He does everything, right, in this movie? He does all the voices?
Yeah. He's the voice of Keanu Reeves in this movie. No, this thing actually, you know who the guy playing the devil looks like? Is the dude from Mortal Kombat Annihilation and the X-Files, that guy?
Brian Thompson?
Yes, he kind of looks like, like, oh, is this Brian Thompson as Satan?
He could be. He's a big dude. And, like, he sends Bill and Ted to their own personal hell.
Oh, my God, this shit.
This is...
Do I need this? I think it's kind of cool that they're doing something different than time travel.
Well, it's better than, like... the heaven that we have to watch immediately afterwards.
So, like, Alex Winter's pushed into his own personal hell, visiting grandma.
Who's also played by Alex Winter.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's Alex Winter as in a grandma suit. That's Alex Winter Mrs. Doubtfiring all over this movie.
Well, you know, old people are so disgusting. That, oh my God, it'd be hell to go near this old codger.
Well, you know, maybe just this woman in particular. I don't think it's generalizing all old people.
Yeah. And then we
a
also,
lot of old people are disgusting.
We also do. I agree.
But
with
it's
that.
Not hell worthy.
Depends on who you ask,
dude. Honestly, though, you got a point. If that's the worst thing in your life, that your personal hell is trying to have your grandmother give you a kiss. Wow, you've led a pretty great life.
Exactly.
Ted, we finally get to see a little bit of Ted's abusive childhood. Because just clear this kid was abused because his dad's a fucking dick.
Yeah.
Like, his dad somehow turns into the Easter Bunny for some reason, which is fucking terrifying.
Is it the dad turning into the Easter Bunny?
Well, no, it's just like the Easter Bunny's talking to him like a dad.
That's a good point. I just thought the Easter Bunny showed up.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I guess it's doing some commands there.
Yeah, well, he's yelling at Ted for taking Deacon's Easter basket.
Right.
You took Deacon's Easter basket!
Also, Frank Welker. One step ahead of you every time, Eric. You think, you know, you just think you're like, oh, I'm watching a nice scene with a couple actors. One of them actors is Frank Welker.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Every scene in cinema history.
Dude, you got Welkered.
The one degree of Frank Welker.
Dude, yes. I think Frank Welker voiced the title card during the assassination scene in Birth of a Nation.
Definitely did.
Dude, Frank Welker called your name at graduation. You don't even know that. Frank Welker, high school and college.
I'm shocked he got the pronunciation right.
Well, I was he's surprised. A fucking professional.
Well, you know what? Maybe I should ease up on the guy.
So, and then also the colonel gets reprised here, too, and they're all kind of chasing him. This is when Keanu Reeves drops the F-bomb on the devil for some reason.
Sure.
That's some balls, dude.
Yeah, you want to talk about getting hell-razored for the rest of eternity.
And this is like a big hulking devil. This isn't like you're effeminate in a cape with a you know, cute smile and a tail.
This isn't a Vincent Price DeVille.
Right.
It'd be great if, like, Pinhead's like, what did he say? Oh, my God, that's really offensive.
Oh, we're going to have fun with this one.
I mean, just you know what? I'm not even going to bother. You send him to somebody else. I just can't even look at this man.
One of the weird sort of absurd things that I like when this scene is starting is them, like, falling for a really long time.
Yeah.
And they just keep falling and falling and yelling. And then they just start playing 20 questions, which is a great gag. Yeah. And he's like... What is he's
are
like?
You an, are you a mineral or a vegetable?
Yeah, and he's like, are you a mineral? Yes. Are you a tank? Yeah. That's a legitimate laugh for me.
And there's a ton of them in this movie. There's a lot because, again, they're very funny together. It's
right.
A funny performance. And now they're like, oh, the way to get out of hell, they're like, oh, the Reaper will save us. So then the Reaper shows up.
And here's our Seventh Seal scene. They're playing Battleship with the Reaper. If anyone doesn't know what I'm talking about, just go to Hulu and look up the Seventh Seal and watch one of the greatest movies ever made.
Yeah, that's actually prerequisite for this course. Watch that movie.
And then, you know, this is where the Reaper starts, you know, building up the belly laughs because he's like, oh, best of two out of three. So it's like, they're playing electric, the NFL electric football game
yeah,
at one point is one
Twister.
Of them.
It's like it turns into a montage, a fun little montage, which I don't mind. And then he's like, you beat me. Now I'll send you wherever you want to go. Like, we need somebody to beat the robots, so send us to heaven to find people who can build a robot.
Now, I was stone cold sober watching this last night, and I don't understand this transition where he, like, they say that, like, oh, hey, Reaper, we have to beat these evil robots. Do you know anyone that can help us? And then it's like, sure, we'll just have to get access to heaven first. And, like, then they're just sneaking into heaven for some reason. Like, don't you think the right. Reaper would have some kind of hookup?
Yeah, he could just walk right in, right? Instead, yeah, they assault some heaven goers.
None of this makes sense. Like, they're dressed as Bill and Ted, and all these people are walking through wearing, like, the same monochromatic costumes or whatever.
I got a question, actually, because I just rewatched Star Wars A New Hope in preparation for the new thing. For the first time in a long time. Is the first cinematic utterance of beat somebody up and take their costume, when is that?
That goes way back. I could think of actually an Alan Ladd movie called This Gun for Hire that does that.
Okay, all right. So even okay.
Yeah, I feel like that could be one of the oldest tricks in the book. I don't know if they do that in Birth of a Nation.
It might be in The Great Train Robbery for all I know.
I mean, a lot of those early Westerns, there's probably dressing up like a villain or something.
I don't know how to ever find out what that is, but I'm curious when the first time that who coined that one.
Right into the We Hate Movies mailbag, gang. wheelhatemovies@gmail.com. See if you can answer Steve's query.
And so we sneak into heaven, and this is a very elitist version of heaven.
Yes.
No single mothers that raised their kids went to church every week. You have to be a genius. You have to be the best at everything. Einstein's right. There.
Camp Champ's there.
Camp Champ is like no one.
Franklin.
I don't see any middle class anywhere near this fucking heaven.
Yeah, it's a very bougie heaven. I kind of don't understand.
No, you got to be born right.
But that's what's weird, though, is like the people that they mug are like Amish folk
or something.
Yeah, I guess so.
I mean, yeah, or something is correct.
And to get into heaven, you need to know what the meaning of life is. Like, I don't know.
Aren't you supposed to tell me that at the other side?
Exactly.
Did you guys not know?
Apparently, it's a fucking, you just have to quote some poison. You get right in.
Yeah, well, that's not all you got to do, but yeah, it's a start.
And the dude at the gate, by the way, is famous blues musician Taj Mahal.
Oh, that's cool.
For whatever reason. I guess maybe Taj was a big fan of Excellent Adventure. I don't know.
Also, the worst matte painting in cinema history. Right outside this heaven. It is it's disturbingly bad. And I love matte paintings. I love them.
I know you do.
And they tell their plight to God, and God's like, here's a map to find the best inventors in all of heaven.
The best scientist, yeah, yeah. Or whatever.
Uh-huh. And, you know, the gag is, oh, you thought they'd be human?
Why are my aliens God. In heaven?
I not in my heaven. You know what? Separate bathrooms.
I mean, in this, like, good dumbass, God. Like...
Right.
You know, Christian version of, you know, the good part of the afterlife. Why are there two little gleep glop fucking mall trolls walking around?
And only two, by the way. Why isn't it looking like the Mos Eisley spaceport if that's the case?
Yeah, where are some other gleep glops? You're exactly right. Where's that cantina werewolf? I'm sure he led a good life. Where's Greedo?
Was he a genius, though?
Oh,
you got to be a genius to get into this heaven.
Was Greedo a genius? Because he was murdered.
Well, the thing is with Greedo, he wasn't from a high-born family. He was doing real low jobs for Jabba, so he doesn't meet the wealth quota.
To get into this heaven? Yeah. Reagan's heaven? Oh, no, Bush 1's heaven. I apologize.
Yeah, same thing.
So, whatever.
They're playing charades when they're introduced to them. And crazy enough, the answer to their charade game is Smokey and the Bandit 3. Smokey is the Bandit.
Totally. That's a weird movie. That's some time with Jackie Gleason I'll never get back.
That is a stay tuned and a half. Honestly, part two as well.
I actually thought...
Part one is a great movie.
I've actually never seen any Smokey and the Bandit movies, and I thought there was only two, and I thought that was like a joke like Jaws 29.
Oh, in, no, that's a real movie.
Back to the Future, really?
Where Jackie Gleason plays two characters.
Oh, yuck.
He ends up playing like three in that movie, but also... we'll get into it on the episode. I could go off on it right now, but it'll take us 20 minutes down the road.
And now here's the thing, though. Aside from that gay slur, the next biggest fucking thud of a joke in this movie is shockingly coming from the Reaper at this point, because they're all trying to like guess what the movie is that Station's acting out and whatnot. And he goes, Butch and Sundance, the early years. And the place like goes dead, and it's supposed to be like, haha, look how corny the Reaper is or whatever. Thud City with this joke.
You know why? Yeah. Here's another one thing.
Because the Grim Reaper shouldn't be fucking hilarious.
Station sucks. Station, this is what we've been saying for years and years on this show. Station!
I mean, that's why we're doing this episode, is we say Station all the time.
For no reason. But, and you want to talk about tropes that I hate. It's not stowaways. It's alien and or foreign characters that can only say their own name.
Yep.
That's it. That's number one.
Really?
Smurfs can go fuck themselves.
Hodor can go fuck himself.
Absolutely. I hate Hodor.
Hodor's very stupid. But the Smurfs speak English, though.
They do, but they say Smurf too much.
They use Smurf as a verb and an adjective a lot, which is kind of annoying.
It's usually a cute little gleep glop, not like Hodor, but they're like, oh, that's a station. Station.
Or like Charles Grodin in that dog movie where all he can say is Beethoven. That's another annoying one.
But the problem is it turns into a bad role-playing game. And instead of Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey, it becomes Bill, Ted, Station, and fucking the Reaper hanging out and farting on each other.
The Reaper joins Wild Stallions.
Yep.
What the fuck? So you got this, the future of mankind's based on this band where the Grim Reaper is an active member.
Now, and this, I was going to save it for the end of the movie, but I'll bring it out there now. Because, yes, the Reaper joins Wild Stallion as the bass player and goes on tour with them, and we see all these fucking headlines about the Reaper released a solo album and it failed, and this, that, and I'm not laughing. And let me ask you this. Has he stopped reaping the souls of man?
That's my question.
Does society as we know it stop dying the way we have for eons?
That's why it's a utopia, right?
Yes, exactly. You're right. Exactly. That's everybody loves. Oh my God, Bill and Ted cured death by putting death in a band.
Rufus, you brilliant son of a bitch.
Man, yeah, Carlin was really on to something.
I think this was all the end game to stop his own death.
Oh, to snare the Reaper himself?
Yeah, it was all an elaborate plot.
Distract him by encouraging his poor musician skills?
Exactly.
I don't know, man. It's ridiculous. But that's my other question is, like, in that first movie, obviously, like, was this always the future where the Reaper was part of the band? Or is this some new version of the band
and that's why
now features the Reaper and I think Station too?
Yeah, no, Station's involved. They're on bongos at the talent show at the end. I mean, something tells me, as much as Rufus may have tried to predetermine this, that, and the other, Rufus may have also been flying by the seat of his pants of this.
I think Station's the X factor he never thought of, you know? Like, it's just going to fly in there and...
Because who could possibly think of something this stupid? By the way, I've seen this on the internet. Anyone out there in listening land got a bad Station tattoo? Because they exist.
Are you shitting me?
Yeah, dude. People have Station tattoos.
Oh, yeah. Send that in.
I want that disgusting thing on my body for the rest of my life.
That's disgusting. What's with this thing's ass? I see this ass so many times. I see it in the short form and the long form.
Right, because they jump together and merge to become one
being.
Yeah,
they do like a non-lethal time copping of themselves.
That's right. Gross. They turn into a puddle of shit. And from this shit grows this like 7-foot thing, also voiced by Frank Welker. Station.
You know, for as much as I hate Station, I take solace in the fact that he's fucking dead already. Someone already got to Station and took him out.
Well,
it's the ghost of Station. I forgot.
It is.
But no, I think God allows these aliens to be because Bill and Ted are reborn.
What? Oh, I thought you were saying that they fly their UFO to heaven and hang out and they're alive.
No, I don't think that happens. But also, again, why is it only one alien in heaven? And why is an alien in the Christian heaven?
And why is the greatest inventor of all time making such ugly robots?
Oh yeah, that's another thing.
So we all hop in a van, we go to a hardware store and pick up the necessary supplies to create good robots. I think, Eric, it's because of the limitations of the Home Depot.
Oh wait, you know what I'm just thinking now is You got diplomatic immunity in the year 2600.
Yeah.
He's got all those resources, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
And these stations, the best inventor from 1990 or 1991.
Right. Yes.
So, of course, he's fucking shit. Of course, these fucking robots are garbage.
So, you're saying that this heaven doesn't transcend time?
That's right.
So, station are aliens from the year 1991.
Yes, right. I think so.
That are deceased.
Yeah, they probably
have to be.
They probably died in like 85, 84.
Coke party?
Yep.
Dude, you see those huge schnozzes on them, man? They could get some coke up there. And also,
Stardust for station, man.
Hey, station, I don't know. Are you saying you need a hospital, man? What is he saying? I don't know what this is. Dude, he's mouth to mouth the station. I don't know what he's trying to ask for.
You bring that dying OD'ing bitch into my house? Get my little black medical book.
Oh, and also these things are like perpetually wet, so their little cute ass cheeks are just shiny and slimy. It's disgusting.
It is disgusting.
I hate station.
I hate station. On all forms of station.
I want a t-shirt. You know what? We Hate Movies t-shirt that says, I hate station.
It's going to happen. We'll make it.
Oh, lordy lord.
And
we're at the hardware store.
Whatever. They get in there and Station fucks himself and turns into Mega Station.
Oh, again, in case anyone is keeping track of the Reaper's greatest comedy hits, in this hardware store, he's got his little scythe with him and he walks over and he's got like a gardening hoe and he's like considering, does he replace the Grim Reaper's scythe with a gardening hoe? And then goes, nah, and puts it back, and I'm chuckling my tits off.
And in the world of wheel spinning, we cut back to Bill and Ted's evil Bill and Ted playing basketball with their heads. And
oh
then
man,
John Sackland's like, stop wasting time. Go to the Battle of the Bands for some reason. Like, why would they go to the Battle of the Bands? Have them not show up, and then they lose.
That's the thing, is like, supposedly at this Battle of the Bands is when Bill and Ted is going to make this huge speech that changes the world. But if they just don't show up, like, you don't have to go make another speech.
No, they're dead.
They're dead. That's it. Pam Grier's going to be like, oh, those two lunkheads I had going on at midnight didn't show up. Battle the band's over, everybody.
Primus wins.
Yeah, Primus, you get $20,000 and a record contract.
Finally. they had more than that. Speaking of South Park.
Oh, yeah.
No, you guys didn't even mention it.
So, Station appropriately makes some ugly-ass looking robots. These are some, like, Urkelbot looking motherfuckers.
Dude, they do look like Urkelbot. I thought the same thing. And they're just, like, barely walking around. They can sort of talk like... They don't talk like Bill and Ted. They talk like a speak and say.
Yes.
Hello, Bill and Ted.
Awesome, party on, excellent, all that stuff.
By the way, completely useless. These robots are basically useless.
They do nothing.
Well, except become members of Wild Stallion. Also, they're the backup dancers.
Why does a metal band need... whatever. The robots come in, and the evil robots are like, oh, screw you, Bill and Ted. You can't beat us. And like, we made good robots, dude. And they uppercut these dudes.
Yeah, it's Rock'em Sock'em robots for a second.
What's amazing is that these evil robots kind of just accept defeat instantly. Yes. They're like, oh... You also built robots. All right. And then they just stand there and take this uppercut.
From
the
slow-ass robot, by the way.
It's I have a feeling Joss Ackland's, like, super-duper evil Bill and Ted could take these shit-ass made-from-mostly-Legos robots. But they don't try. And the robots are instantly defeated, and you think, like, everybody saved the day. And, by the way, this is also, again, just like that last movie... All culminating around a large public event.
Whatever. And, you know, Joss Ackland comes down in the phone booth. Finally, you get to see a fucking phone booth
in this movie, yeah. And you do miss that in this movie.
You do. And, well, actually, also, weirdly, it is further on in the future because we're no longer using bunny ears on the phone booth. It's got this weird, like, kind of...
Oh, yeah, there's some sort of, like Bill and
bubble.
Ted flux capacitor-esque machine
Mr.
on top.
Fusion upstairs.
Yeah, you're totally right.
So he comes down. He's got this big space gun. Looks like it was designed by Rob Liefeld.
I have my space gun.
Look at me.
Bill and Ted, look at my plastic outfit and space gun. And he's like, everyone will die here, and I will now make, for some reason, this concert be seen all over the world.
Sure. And now we're broadcasting this everywhere.
And it's also being closed captioned in every language somehow.
Yep. That's the biggest, the most unbelievable part of this movie, I'll tell you that.
Says the TV operations manager over
That's
here.
That's right. It makes this drove me up the wall.
Were you having flashbacks of like how much paperwork you'd have to put in for this to instantly be working?
Yeah, no, this is like a few months of work. this is a real. Well, the thing is, if you get a time machine, maybe he, but it's, you know, it's hard to make live captions that accurate.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say this can't be done.
All right. I agree with you. And he's about to kill everybody. They do that thing they do in the first movie a little bit with like, oh, if I can find my dad's keys, I could put them here, there,
oh,
and the other
right,
place.
They do that, and I forgot about that.
But it's a smaller part of the movie. You know what
and
I mean?
And also in that first movie, though, they're definitely like, by the way, we have to go do this now. And mm-hmm. like you see them get in the booth to do it.
Yeah.
Instead, this is just like, oh, let's just go back and put a sandbag there. Done. And like it falls on him.
And a cage. And then he's like, but I could make a key.
Yeah, and now I get out of the cage.
And I get a new gun. And he uses the new gun. And it's a, you know, it's a gag where a little flag that comes out says Wild Stallions Rolls. Whatever.
Sure. Hey, sure.
It's just like, dude, only the winners can do that. It's like, sure, why not? Why not end your movie?
The first movie is so much better because it actually thinks of things like that. Yeah, it's a dumb stoner comedy or whatever, but it like has a living and breathing world.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you got to see, they set that stuff up. They're, you know.
You got to do it.
It's just such a better movie than this movie.
There's also no one like threatening them with a gun from the future, which is just like that first movie. There's not really a bad guy.
No,
they're just kind of racing against time to get to this history presentation. And by the way, through the entire fucking terrorist attack that is happening right now, that is happening in this movie, this audience is just watching, thinking it's part of the show.
They're booing it like a stunt show. Like, boo you, you
yeah,
stupid
he's the
jerk.
Bad guy. Get him, Indiana Jones and Batman. And like,
ooh, I'd pay to see that. Give me a stunt show with both of them.
Fighting Joss Ackland dressed like Bill and Ted.
Yep, I'm there.
But like, San Dimas is a small town, right? Like, you have to imagine some people in this audience are like, weren't those the two guys that had the elaborate history presentation in high school?
Well,
what are they doing right now?
Oh my God, I think that actually was Napoleon. Like, it takes them like 2 years to figure it out.
But, you know, because of that, maybe people do think that this is just part of the show. Like, they did a kick-ass history paper, man.
No, that's what I'm saying. They definitely think it's part of the show.
Yeah.
And they're just like into it. But my thing is, if I'm in that audience, I'm going to get up and leave.
Yeah.
It's like, pretty stupid.
They're not playing rock and roll. You know what, dude? Forget it.
They're building up to it. My God, they are.
It's like, where do I cast my ballot for Primus before I can get out of here? Just make sure you vote twice for Primus for me, all right? They really won this thing. They didn't need to rely on silly tricks.
Yeah.
So Rufus comes out, or I'm sorry, Pam Grier comes out as Miss Wardrobe and unzips her. That's her name.
Oh, is it Miss Wardrobe?
Yeah, for some reason.
Oh, man, that's stupid.
She unzips her face like a Bugs Bunny cartoon, and it's been Rufus the whole time.
Mm-hmm, because he was trying to seduce Elmer Fudd.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, there's a whole movie happening off screen.
Did he kill Pam Grier like 2 weeks before?
Then hollowed out her body? Yes, he did.
I think that's the only way that would work, right?
Well, unless in like 2600 you can have like synthetic people suits made like
that. Like a Mission Impossible mask, but
yeah, but it's a whole body.
But for everywhere, dude.
With a voluptuous Pam Grier.
Yeah, and it's correct, if you know what I mean.
Oh, really? Wow.
Just like those robots.
Well,
dude.
Because Rufus doesn't know how long he's gotta be in this thing. You don't know what's gonna come up. Maybe Rufus is using this as a sex vacation.
He's looking entirely to try possible. Some things. Yeah, 1991. Oh man. Go back to 1991. Do that. Some of that stuff.
Wait, you know, if you did that, you would like alter time a lot, right? Like, let's
Everyone's
say you have a kid.
Altering. Well, sorry.
Let's say you have kids. Yeah, you would really alter time. That's just making me think these princesses are taken out of the Middle Ages.
Oh yeah.
There goes like 12,000 people vanish, right? Everyone's related to someone.
Yeah, you're totally right. Possibly Bill and Ted. It's very dangerous.
It is.
Unless they were barren princesses. And two barren princesses next to each other like that, I doubt it.
Yeah, unless, were they about to save them both from being executed?
No. They were going to get executed. Bill and Ted were going to get executed.
Right. So then, why did they just kidnap them?
Well, because they're like, oh, it's boring, and you are hanging out with Billy the Kid, so let's do that instead.
Oh, right.
Why did Billy the Kid show up again in this?
Yeah, you know.
That incredibly old Billy the Kid they have in that movie. He's like,
yeah.
He looks like Roddy Piper.
It's damn Billy the Kid.
It's just Billy the Dude. Yeah, you know, you could have used a couple of those characters from the first movie to come back for some reason.
Socrates, man.
Oh, yeah, some Socrates. I mean, the heavy hitters.
Napoleon was done. I didn't need Napoleon
to come back. I saw him eating ice cream. I don't need to see him again. But Socrates doing like a spoken word record or something.
Yes.
I could get behind that.
Dude, he could join Wild Stallion too. Hey, fuck it.
So they win and Rufus is like, yeah, I got you in the Battle of the Bands. How else could you have gotten in? Here's your stage, guys. And they're like, oh, no, we don't know how to play. Give us 2 seconds. And they go into the time machine with the princesses, and they come back, and they know how they went on apparently a 16-month intensive guitar lesson
/ honeymoon in the Middle Ages.
Two week honeymoon, yeah,
yeah.
And they well, Bill looks like someone from ZZ Top,
yeah.
And Ted looks like the devil actually,
kind of just
with
like
this
the devil.
Goatee they have Keanu wearing in this,
and like
this
he's
scene.
Wearing body armor for some reason. It's a weird outfit. It's not a rock and roll outfit.
No, it's you know there was another movie there somewhere. Those 16 months at sea,
dude. Everybody figured it out. Here's a question: are Bill and Ted virgins when they go into that thing?
Ooh,
yeah. I'm going to vote yes.
Yes, I think so too.
Yeah, so they learned all sorts of stuff. Mm-hmm. Jaunt.
And they came back men.
Mm. Well, I think it was just a little dreamers kind of scenario. They all just kind of hung out for 16 months and figured each other out.
That Ooh. One magic summer.
Mm-hmm.
How
Guaranteed.
About Michael Pitt as Alex Winter's son in the new one?
Yeah, okay.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt as Ted.
Yeah, okay.
As the kids, right?
Yep, all right. Uh-huh. I'm kind of starting to accept this.
Yeah.
I could see that. You know what's kind of stupid in this movie? Way
the Grim
too...
Reaper.
Well, yes.
And Station.
We'll get to the dumbest part of the Grim Reaper in a second. But way too many people in this movie can do the fucking air guitar bit.
Yes.
And I don't appreciate it one lick. Mm-hmm. That is Bill and Ted's thing. Stop copying Bill and Ted.
The rest of the movie.
Because the fucking princesses are doing it. Rufus is doing it. Rufus does it in the first movie.
Stop copying me.
Fucking the Reaper does it at one point, and it's the dumbest thing ever. Ted's dad does it. I mean,
well, Ted's dad does it when he's possessed.
Yes, but they do like a classical acoustic guitar riff on him.
Right, because he's an old fart.
So they've won, right? And they've come back, and they've had sex, and now they have babies, and they're like, look, here it comes. Here comes our... Let's introduce you to the whole band. And Station's on bongos. The robots are backup dancers. Just turn those things off, all right?
It's just, you know what? Throw them in the garbage.
That's where they belong.
Take them to Best Buy's Electronic Recycling Center. Mm-hmm. Get rid of them. Also, only the princesses and Bill and Ted go on that trip.
Yes.
How the fuck does Station know that they're supposed to be playing bongos?
Good question.
The Reaper expresses interest in playing bass earlier in the film, so I guess that goes without saying.
And he's on the bass, and this is when he does the Reaper rap.
Oh, man, the Reaper rap. Like, I get it. We had ninja rap around this time. Like, stop.
It's about time for Reaper rap.
I guess so. I guess this movie needed the Reaper rap.
And one of the headlines that you see pop up is Reaper Rap sweeping the nation.
Yep.
No, it's not. No, it's not. It's not.
They go on to play a concert on Mars.
They do.
Oh, they tour the world. They go to Mars. And that's apparently where Station is from.
Yes.
So he's a Martian.
Sure.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And
yeah, I guess so.
We do get a kick-ass Kiss song. I would say probably the only one because I despise Kiss.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, this is actually really nice. This
God
is
gave hit. Rock and roll to you?
It's well, this is the thing, is it starts out with like Bill and Ted just jamming.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And we're just getting this riff.
This is supposed to be, presumably, a Wild Stallion song that helps unite the world.
Well, that's what I didn't understand, because it's then cutting into God Give Rock and Roll to You, and I'm like, are they covering this tune, passing it off as their own, and then it turns out the music of Gene Simmons and Kiss is what actually unites the world?
Well, the thing is, I think Kiss has been killed in the past or something.
Oh, wait, they traveled back to the 1970s and murdered
them?
Or
maybe Gene Simmons was a descendant of one of the princesses.
Yes, that's exactly what it is.
Yep.
And it's a better world.
And that's why you sort of have that wrinkle in time where you get the parallel thinking, because her bloodline was supposed to eventually get to this song.
Oh, right. Wow.
Oh.
So it's just like God's like, it needs to happen.
This song must exist.
It needs to happen.
So God did give rock and roll to
exactly.
us.
Exactly.
Okay. Holy shit.
We confirmed there's heaven, so God is at play.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, this is crazy. And the cool thing is the entire song gets to play.
Yeah.
It's a great song. And yeah, this newspaper montage of all the accomplishments of Wild Stallion and all that they do. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and list all of them because I can't. But
they just do everything and they...
But
they threaten to break up, and the Dow plummets. They come back, and everything goes nuts.
Oh,
again.
Right, yeah, it's turned out to be a hoax, and the Dow soars. And you're just like, oh man, who could care? But that's the thing; it doesn't take us far enough into the future to talk about when one of the members of Wild Stallion dies,
yes,
or is assassinated.
And I want to know: is there any resistance? Is there some like Red Dawn type of rebels in the woods, like? You know what? Fuck God for giving us this rock and roll shit.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know?
Also, it's pretty presumptuous that like everyone in the world is what? Just going to fall in line with this music.
This hair metal. It's hair metal. And it was 91. Grunge was happening. Everyone was like, fuck hair metal. It's grunge now.
Yep.
And also, obviously, rap and pop music and all the other
right. Where are the
genres of music that people listen to all the time.
I know those stuffy classical music buffs aren't going to get in line with Wild
Stallion.
Absolutely
not.
No way. The opera heads don't think so.
Mm-mm.
Don't think so.
What about the deaf? The deaf aren't enjoying Bill and Ted.
Right. Or the disco heads.
They might as well be deaf.
The people that just couldn't let it go.
Yeah, that's who's killing Bill and Ted.
Oh, yeah. And then, I mean, it's over with. They do this, like, ridiculous, like, mashup tune of, like, dumb music and quotes from the movie. And the fucking gay slur works its way into this medley.
Oh, best part of the movie, that's why.
Because you're just quoting it in the car on the way home. My favorite part of that movie
guarantee you someone yelled that at their kids right afterwards.
And then they're like, yeah, they did the air guitar together. We're becoming closer. Yay.
Oh, do you think there was a parent coming out of the theater like someone's dad that was like, hey, Junior, burn out. And it was like, no, dad.
Three times in a fucking musical montage of your movie. Like it was a theme.
Would anybody recommend Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey?
Yeah, I there's a ton of laugh lines in here that
yeah.
that really hit. I love when Bill comes back and from the dead. And he's like, oh, dinner's over, worm dude, and pulls a worm out of his ear.
It's kind of like a joke cribbed from Beetlejuice,
yes.
And I appreciate it.
I think both Alex Winter and Keanu are great in this. I do think they get diluted as the movie goes on because the movie gets really crowded at the end.
We really do get less and less Bill and Ted. The more Station just starts butt-cheeking all over the screen.
And that's the thing. In the first one, yeah, there's a lot of fun. Like, we get those dream team, see the Michael Keaton movie, esque montages of all of them together running around. But it is Bill and Ted front and center the whole time.
Totally.
And this one, not so much. But I would recommend. It's funny. It's fun.
Yeah, I'd absolutely recommend it. But the first one is the superior film.
Agreed oh, totally. There. I agree with that.
Yeah. So, you know, it's fun. You get your laughs. You get a couple of them. And there's some stupid shit, too.
Well, it's certainly, I mean, I would recommend it. And it's certainly not like a Weekend at Bernie's 2 where it's like, man, there's just not a movie here.
No, yeah.
You know, like, it's, like I keep saying, like, they do enough different that it feels like a thing. Of course it doesn't need to exist.
No.
Right.
You know, but whatever. The first one was successful. You find another way to make a movie. Although, I'll tell you, stay tuned on Animation Damnation. I think this we definitely have to save until Chris is back on the show. That Bill and Ted cartoon was horrible.
I don't remember it at all.
It was horrible. And there was a Bill and Ted cereal that was horrible that I like bought more than three boxes of.
There's apparently a live action show as well that lasted nothing.
Really?
Oh, is that right?
On Wikipedia, like seven episodes of some
two live clowns playing Bill and Ted.
Two exact clowns.
Now, but here's the thing that you wonder: what of those supporting characters maybe flies back into the show?
It says none of the original.
Oh,
cast.
Really? So that you couldn't even get a Missy.
How about Station?
Frank Welker does TV, man. Frank Welker does it all.
No, I guarantee you that show acts like that second movie doesn't exist.
Yeah, it's one of those movies.
It's right. just that first one, and we didn't die and go to hell and whatnot. Yeah, I don't know. So this is our anniversary show.
This show has gone on way too long.
Yeah.
How many? It's like years now.
Five years.
Yeah.
Five?
Yeah, this is their fifth year.
Well, sorry to break this to you people, but the show's going to keep going.
That's Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey from 1991, directed by Peter Hewitt. Check out our website, of course, whmpodcast.com, or find us over on sideshownetwork.tv. Our social media, as always, facebook.com/wehatemovies or at whmpodcast on Twitter.
Go to
Chris's work again there.
Go to CWalton73 on Twitter.
That's at. You have to say at.
At
That's C. how Walton. You plug Twitter.
At CWalton73 and ChristopherWalton.daportfolio.com. It's exactly how it sounds.
There you go. Right into the mailbag. weallhatemovies@gmail.com. Rate and review the show.
You know what? That's a great point because we've been doing this for free for so many goddamn fucking years.
I mean, we're still doing it for free.
Oh, yeah.
That but, V Hate Movies has to be destroyed. I'll go back in time. Oh, wait, I don't have to do anything.
They never really got off the ground.
They just, will destroy themselves.
They all separately die in ditches.
Separate ditches.
So if you want to try to stop that from happening, please rate and review the show wherever you get it. It's honestly, I don't want to be a presumptuous dick, but it's the least you could do.
Tell a friend, spread the word, write a blog post about us. Hey, man, any way you can spread the good word of this program, we would greatly appreciate it. Because guess what, everybody? This train's going to keep right on rolling. And we'll be rolling into Washington, D.C. this Saturday for a couple of live shows.
And also, thank you very much, obviously, for listening for 5 years. A lot of you have been with us for 5 years.
Thanks for nothing.
No, Eric.
There have been people who have been with us since, like, when the show was really bad. Not just, like, it's current bad now, but when it was, like, we didn't know what we were doing bad.
Yeah.
And, man, those are the real, those are the true heroes.
The earbud heroes out there. Thank you. Actually, yeah, no, sincerely, thank you for listening and giving a show like this a shot, especially guys like us. Salt of the earth.
And I think we should use, and let me see if you agree or not, use the anniversary show as the time to say that we are wiping out the clues.
Yeah, we're done with it.
We're gonna try this new thing where we're just gonna tell you what we're doing.
A lot because of this people, way, right? A lot of people like to watch beforehand,
watch in advance, but also build up anticipation. Have time to tell your friends about what the episode's gonna be.
And it's kind of like a little movie club now, right?
You know exactly.
What I mean? We're all watching the same movie this week.
Exactly right, Steve.
Unfortunately, the movie we're gonna start on is Attack of the Clones.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry there. So you would have liked an elliptical clue that you could say, oh, I can't find that movie. Guess I won't watch it.
Well, I think we also told everyone about this.
We also
already
did.
So let's just finish out the rest of the year. Attack of the Clones coming out next week.
Sure.
Then after that, Santa Claus the movie.
Yeah, the Dudley Moore film.
With John
Lithgow.
Lithgow is a bad guy in it.
Yep, we're going back to Salkin territory.
So there you go. You have a couple of weeks to prepare because we all know you saw Attack of the Clones already.
And you don't have to again.
And you don't have to again is right. But 2 weeks from now, Santa Claus the Movie, coming to We Hate Movies. So tune your dials or your torrents or your Amazons, do whatever you do. Check out the movie, and then you can laugh along with us on our episode in 2 weeks. So until next week, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Zadak.
Eric Siska.
Missing Chris Cabin.
Be excellent to each other and party on.